Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Stargazing with Star Fuentes. Star Fuentes is a master intuitive healer and spiritual teacher and has been a pioneering student of metaphysics for over 50 years. She has learned lifetimes of priceless information from her years of seeking out and living with indigenous healers and shamans around the world. Visit her website at www.starfuentes.com and then join her here every Wednesday night on Spiritual Connections Radio as she shares her knowledge with you. And now, Star Fuentes.
Welcome. Tonight, after the half hour, we will be taking calls. Ask us some questions. Get something confirmed. Get an answer or solution that you've been looking for. Our phone number is 646-716-9663. Tonight, I have a very dynamic and powerful medium and healer on. Her name is Lee Van Zyl, and I'm glad you're here. Welcome.
Well, thank you for that intro. I hope my head doesn't burst. It got so large at that.
Well, I don't worry about you with your ego. Tell me, some other people I do worry about. Tell me, you're in a South African medium and healer. Tell me about that.
Well, I grew up in South Africa. My father was a medium. But, you know, in those days, people never really spoke about it, so it was kind of hush-hush. I grew up in a city. My family had wild game farms, so I've had a bit of a city as well as wild animals around me. I'm trained as a lawyer. I spent most of my life as a lawyer, and then to my surprise, I ended up doing this, and it was not planned at all. And it was just spirit making things happen.
Yeah, isn't it amazing how, you know, spirit and source have one thing in mind for us and we have another thing in mind for us. So you are now located in New Jersey, and you provide a wide variety of services. Could you tell me what different types of things you do?
Yes, well, chiefly our center opened because I run a school for mediums. So that's the chief thing that we do is the development of mediums. And, you know, as my spiritual direction has changed course, I became a healer. And everything about us, it's focused on intuitive development as well as healing, you know, from Reiki, other forms of energy healing, shamanism, bringing in the traditional as well. And we've now just introduced hypnotherapy as well onto our repertoire. So everything is geared towards helping someone heal and helping them to step into their power so that they can live their true potential.
Oh, and I see from your website. Now, what is your website? Please, can you share with us?
Yes, my personal website is leevanzylenergetics.com.
And how do you spell your last name, please?
V-A-N-Z-Y-L. But everyone has to be careful because I found out that there's another medium in South Africa, in the UK, actually, with exactly the same name. So the LeeVanZyl.com is not me. That's the Brit.
That's pretty interesting that two people with the same name do the same thing. Now, you're a little different, and you have a little different flavor than most of the psychics and mediums that I've encountered over the past 50 years. And you do galleries. And can you tell me what a gallery is? I personally do galleries, but our listeners, some of our listeners don't have that experience. What is a gallery?
Well, a gallery is really just a demonstration of mediumship to a group. So I think most people are familiar with a Long Island medium. When she reads for crowds, that's a gallery. So it's really just, you know, not a one-on-one reading, but having a group, and then you just pull in spirit for whoever might be around with that group of people. And it's really to demonstrate mediumship, to demonstrate that those who cross over are always around, that life is perpetual, and it's just to give some healing messages and show people how it works.
So it's like a reading in a group.
And that's right.
I've found sometimes that people benefit more from listening to me talk or spirit talk to another person and by hearing our conversations, and sometimes they do by their own answers. It's an amazing spiritual experience to have 10, 20 people in the room, and people are being connected to people on the other side, the looks on their faces, their energies, their emotions. Because sometimes when you're experiencing it, you don't get to see what it looks like, feels like from the outside. So people, listen, if you ever get a chance to attend a gallery, and that's where there are more than one person getting a reading, please do so. And Lee, do you work with tables? Do you do table tipping? Do you do seances?
Yes. We have started a table tipping seance group that sits on a Thursday. Table tipping is actually part of physical mediumship, and a gallery reading, for example, is mental mediumship. So any physical manifestation of spirit is under the category of physical mediumship. And table tipping is but one of them. And then other parts of physical mediumship might be the Ouija board, also transfiguration, direct voice, indirect voice, trumpet work, as well as receiving apports.
Okay, and how is your table tipping group going here? I remember, I think the first time I did a table tipping was in 58 or 59, and it was so amazing for me to see that table raise up in the air, and then I'm looking to see if anybody's foot's lifting it or something under the table, and there was nothing under there, of course. How's your Thursday night group doing?
We have a phenomenal group. I have six mediums, and we've been sitting for 3 or 4 months now consistently every Thursday for 2 hours. So getting them developed, because this was a new field to them. So it took about, you know, we got a little bit of movement the first time, but consistency is key. And slowly we started getting the joy guides coming in for each medium, and the energy started to build. And within a few weeks, the table started moving really well. Everyone's developed a really close rapport with their guides. It's a very nice, happy circle. You know, we sing songs to bring the energy up. We're working with joy guides, which elevate the energy. And it's a kind of seance where everyone has a laugh because it's so much fun. And the higher the energy, the better session you have. So right now, it's a phenomenal group. I would say it's the best table tipping group I've had.
I think that's wonderful, and if I get a chance sometime and up in I'm in that New Jersey area, I'll see if I can come and play with you.
Oh, absolutely.
And, you know, there's some more seriouser ends in things that mediums have to do. Now, I think you do spirit release and spirit rescue, and this is with a disincarnate being is in the energy field of a being who is alive. And tell me a little bit about some of your experiences.
I am a rescue medium, and this is also something I might add that I never planned on being, and I was inadvertently in a group with my mentor from Australia, and one of the women there had said that she has a best friend who had committed suicide, and the lady hadn't crossed over because she was with her and bothering her the whole time. And my teacher was trying to explain to her how to cross the spirit over. I was sitting there. Honestly, I had no idea what she was speaking about. The next thing she promptly said, well, you know, I'll teach you how to do it, and we'll do it right now. And she had this girl sit down and then called me out of the group and had me sit down behind her with my hands on her shoulders, and she had two people holding onto my shoulders for energy. And the next thing, she started saying something, and I felt for the first time in my life spirit entering my body. And it went right through me, and I was completely shocked, and then back in, and it stayed there. And then she started the spirit release, and this is the negotiation getting her to cross over to the other side. And I had no idea what was happening, but I felt like I was that person. I then saw clairvoyantly, I think, you know, the portal opening, and I saw these hands being stretched out. And I started to hear a scream, the most earth-shattering scream, but I could hear it was coming out of my mouth, but it didn't sound like me. And I could feel all the emotion, all the raw emotion of this person as she struggled to let go from the physical and move into spiritual and to be reunited with her family. And once it was over, I was left completely shaken. I almost feel like I had a bit of a nervous breakdown initially from the experience because it was so overwhelming. But the spirit crossed over, this girl crossed over, and there were no more problems. And that was my first powerful experience with rescue work. And from there, I started working with that. And generally, you know, it's not that intense, depending on what you're working with. So it's just removing attachments or energies that have not crossed over. And they don't cross over for a variety of reasons. And then, of course, you get more of the darker stuff like dark force entities, and then you'll move more into the demonic field, which is more of a specialized field.
Well, I teach a class, a 10-day workshop called 30 Types of Exorcism, and my most powerful type of spirit rescue I learned living with a Maasai medicine man named Kuku Yaya in the Congo, and years and years and years and years and years ago. I stayed with him 11 months, and boy, I'll tell you, there are all different types of spirit rescue and exorcism, and there's lineage stuff. And for me, I guess the kind of sad part is so many people have a spirit in their energy, and the spirit is eating, sleeping with their body, you know, mm-hmm. using their body. They're having huge memory lapses. Their life is a mess because the entity has driven away all their friends. The entity wants them alone in their body so nobody can say things like, "What's got into you?"
Mm-hmm.
Or she was beside herself. That wasn't her speaking. And it's amazing how many people's lives have gone downhill because they do have an entity in their field. So pay attention. If your best friend's face changes and there's someone else behind their eyes, if their voice changes, if they do things and be things they would never be, pay attention and look and suggest to your friend that they may need a spirit rescue, that they may have a negative energy attachment. And when some souls die, they die, and what they want is they want to tell their story. My brother killed me for the family money. A building fell on me and surprised me. I wasn't ready to die. And sometimes once the medium tells the story, sometimes, not all times, they're ready to go on. Let's talk a little bit about cord cutting. It's something that I teach my students and I've been doing for a long time. Tell me about energetic cords and your method of cutting cords.
All right. Well, as far as cords are concerned, you know, everyone we meet and our family and friends, we have spiritual cords with them. When we talk about cord cutting, I'm talking about a negative emotional cord. A lot of people will come for cord cutting possibly from a mother, but they're very worried, you know, and they say, "I don't want to lose my mother. You know, I don't want her out of my life, but there's this energy between us that I need to get rid of." And this can sometimes be with family members who might be very needy, suck the life out of you. When we cut the cords, it's only the negative cord of emotion that gets cut. So if you need to cut a cord from someone close to you, like a husband, for example, we are not cutting this person out of your life, but it's really just cutting the negative influences or the flow between the two of you.
And a lot of times people find the cord so annoying that they never talk to their brother or sister or mother or father again because they can't handle being in their presence because the cord is so strong. So many times when you have driven somebody or cut somebody out of your life, it is because the cord is emotional, mentally, spiritually, physically is so strong energetically that you don't want to deal with those negative consequences. And then you decide that it's easier not to ever see or talk to that person again. So cord cutting is very, very important. Resentment, cord cutting. If you worked for IBM for 24 years and they laid you off, you can be so resentful yourself and send them negative energy that no one will hire you because the amount of resentment they sense towards a job. And sometimes cords need to be cut that way. So tell me, sweetie, what is your most favorite thing to do, Lee, in your medium world and B? What is your most favorite?
My most favorite really is developing intuitives, developing people to use their psychic gifts as psychics, or even in their professional life or everyday life. But my passion really would be developing mediums, helping people to contact those on the other side, teaching them how to provide proof of life and getting them started on that, you know, for whatever purpose they need to use it, whether it's for themselves or possibly to work as a medium or maybe for psychotherapists who need it with their clients. And that's what it's about. I would say that's my passion.
And what's your class structure like? What's your teaching structure like, your apprentice structure, and how do you structure this?
I think it's very fairly priced. To get a medium started, I offer an unfoldment into mediumship class, and that runs for a full day between 9 and 6, and that's $225. And then included in that are two-hour development circles that I run on a Tuesday where they will then come into a group of around 20 mediums. And we practice psychometry, furthering the rapport with the spirit world. And for those who wish to take their mediumship to a new level, go further with it, continue to develop their rapport with the spirit world and their gatekeepers, those people would then sit in the development circle each week or whenever they're able to make it, but on a consistent basis, and I charge $20 for that.
Well, that's just enough to pay the rent and the snacks afterwards. That's very fair. For me, sometimes when I work with people and develop their mediumship and their psychic energies, that they surprise themselves. Have you seen many people who end up being so surprised at the strength of their connection and the strength of their ability to do so?
Well, I think this is the joy of doing this work, when they deliver evidence that's so spot on. And there's only one way you'll know that feeling, when something pops out of your mouth and it's just a passing thought about someone on the other side for someone, and you see them crying and they know exactly what you're speaking about. And I think, you know, what happens with a medium before the class, they believe that there's life after death. And then after the class, they know. So they do that switch. And
yeah,
that's powerful.
Yeah, I agree with you. And that's very, very important for all of us to have a deep connection to something, a higher power, to knowing that there is another realm out there. And the spiritual energy is really important to nurture, educate, to define, and also to get some confirmations on. I've seen people out there who tell me, oh, I don't need a teacher. I talk to my spirit guides, and I do this and this, and I be this and this. And then you look at them, and it's not so. And you have to kind of put their compass a little bit to the right or left. And a lot of people I work with, especially a friend that you and I have in common, is they have this great power and this great potential, and they're always saying, who, me? You know, and it's like, you know, you have to awaken these people and say, yes, you. I think that's a very important part of being a teacher. Let's talk a little bit about removing of curses, spells, bindings, wards, things like that. I see on your website that you do that, and I see you work with an egg, and the Curandera method is very, very much working with an egg, and I think mm-hmm. I even have a class on that somewhere that I teach occasionally. Talk to me about removing the curses and the negative energies.
Well, if you think about a curse, you know, it sometimes has a rather ominous ring to it, but what is a curse really? A curse is a thought form. A thought form that lands in our energy field, and it's a thought form that can trip us up, and we can create our own thought forms, so we can essentially really curse ourselves. So if people educate themselves on the law of attraction, that explains a lot. If you focused on the fact that you can never find love, can't find a job, everything's going wrong, thoughts become things, and that can land in your energy field, and you can create your own curse. Then other times, people around us can curse us inadvertently without even realizing it. Our family can curse us. For example, if you have an argument with some friends and they start focusing on you with enough anger and with focused intent, they can send this thought form to you and it can form a curse on you as well. And then, of course, you have the third type of curse, and that would be where someone would go and see a root worker or whatever, someone who does this kind of magic, to have someone bound or to trip someone up. So that would be a thought form amped up with a magical ritual. What I do to remove those curses is the energy needs to be reversed. A magical ritual needs to be undone, or the thought form needs to be reversed. I'm very careful not to send the thought form back to the person who creates it. Because what that does is, you know, then you're just shooting arrows at each other. So that would be sending harm to that person, and that would create karma for not only myself, but also for my client, and we don't want that. I believe if you reverse it, it's in God's hands. God will decide, you know, where it lands. I'm from Africa, though, so, you know, I kind of believe it usually goes back to that person. That's usually, you know, there's such a thing as karma.
And I agree, and I've been taught many traditions, and almost all of the traditions reversing, and if it was a physical spell done with physical things, that sometimes you do those physical things backwards. I also like to talk about the victim curse, and the victim curse is a curse that people put on themselves. I'll never get ahead. I never have any luck. Why does this always happen to me? You know, and you continually put yourself in this place where you're the person who's going to lose your keys. You're the person who's going to get your flat tires. You're the person whose apartment's going to be broken into. You're the person who goes out to restaurants and you get the bad meal because you have put a victim curse on yourself. And many, many people, whiners, and many, many, many complainers. And I've seen a victim curse so strong on a lady that when it was sunshiny, she would complain that it wasn't raining. And when it was raining, she was complaining that it wasn't sunshiny. And a victim curse is a very, very important curse to reverse and get somebody to help you with it. Because your mother might have told you you'll never amount to anything, and that might have started it, and it may have been going on now for 30 or 40 years. So imagine something that has that much energy behind it. So seek out someone who can facilitate changing this, reversing it, and using some physical plane tools sometimes to get rid of these curses. is there anything else you'd like to say about that?
Well, yes, you know, it's not just a matter of reversing a curse. As you well know, you know, you can reverse a curse or do energy work on a person, but it has, when they walk out that door, they start undoing it. So one needs to tackle the whole victim complex. Alongside the curse reversal and whatever work needs to be done to do that, you have to educate your clients. You then have to give them spiritual consulting and assist them in stepping into their own power and to stop thinking like a cursed person. And the problem is people don't want to do the work, and those are the failures. People generally expect us to wave a magic wand over their head and go poof and everything's going
to
turn around.
And then they want
you need to,
do
the work. You need to do the work.
And you do this, the exact words they say, what you think every day, you need to give them. And people go home and think they paid for this curse removal, and they go home and they're thinking the same way and acting the same way. And 2 days later, the same energy's back. You need to do your work, people, and do your work and then educate yourself some more and see if there's something else you could do or be in your work. Let's talk a little bit more about your African lineage, and let's talk about some of the African shamanic cleanses that you do. Teach me about that.
Well, you know, in various parts of Africa, they do different things. So, for example, the Yoruba, which is from which voodoo is derived, is not practiced really in South Africa. I feel that the South African indigenous people who perform this kind of work are actually a lot more like spiritualist mediums. So a lot of it is based on mediums. For the most part, everyone in Africa speaks to the ancestors. So that's more the shamanic part, you know, working with the ancestors, working in a trance, doing trance healings. And then, of course, you have the magical realm where they work with herbs, they do magical rituals and spells. And those people are known as Sangomas in South Africa. So, you know, I think it's really like everywhere in the world, you know, every single religion or every single country has its unique shamans that work there. We just call different names, really. But growing up in South Africa, it's a bit of an odd place because it's first world and third world, and the two have united. So, you know, you kind of become a mix. Even with law, when I practiced law over there, we'd work with British common law, but we'd also recognize indigenous law. So it's very much intermingled. So coming from South Africa, I do a mixture of both, whereas I think in this country, you know, your average American energy worker would not deal with anything that remotely sounds like Santeria or voodoo or anything like that because they think it's, well, you know, I can't do that. But my background kind of lends itself to mixing the two together and using whatever techniques work from each school of thought.
And it's really interesting that you were a lawyer and now you deal in spiritual laws. I find that, you know, people say that looking at that, what a great foundation that was for you.
Well, I always wondered, you know, why did I do law? And then my partner at the business actually said, well, if you think about it, when you're working with demonic entities or negative entities, you have to negotiate with them. And that's what I'm good at, negotiating and litigating.
And the other thing is you have to recognize the lawbreakers. You know, and the people who break the spiritual laws and the laws of, you know, integrity and everything else, you have to be able to recognize it. And people continually come to me and they don't understand something. Is when they lie to me, their aura dims. When they lie to anybody, and I'll say, that's not true. Okay. And how long before we come up here on our commercial break, Sean? Okay,
It'll be 45 seconds.
All right. So please remember, when you sit in front of somebody who's spiritually, energetically educated, it is very easy for them to perceive everything. Take a deep breath. And take another deep breath.
Good. And we're waiting on our commercial break here.
You're listening to Stargazing with Star Fuentes. Star Fuentes is a master intuitive healer and spiritual teacher and has been a pioneering student of metaphysics for over 50 years. She has learned lifetimes of priceless information from her years of seeking out and living with indigenous healers and shamans around the world. Visit her website at www.starfuentes.com and then join her here every Wednesday night on Spiritual Connections Radio as she shares her knowledge with you. Once again, Star Fuentes.
Great people. Lee and I are here to answer your questions, confirm for you, give you some solutions. Our phone number is 646-716-9663. All right. Lee, what was the greatest spiritual lesson of your life?
Not to take things personally.
Wow, that's a biggie, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's the one we always struggle with, right? Even today, I still struggle with that.
Well, it comes up a lot for me, you know, even after I'm almost 75 years old, a month or so away from turning, and, you know, every day something comes up that reminds me not to take it personally. And for me, one of the lessons I learned is that I don't always see the big picture. I see what's in front of me. I see the energy, and that there are many other energies that can influence your life, your husband's, your children's lives, and sometimes they need to be in front of me. So when you come to me, don't be saying and tell me all about my neighbor and tell me. I was in a gallery for a paranormal conference the other day, and a lady raised her hand, and she asked a message from her mother. And then she asked a message from her grandmother, and I looked at her, and I said, you never met your grandmother. Your parents don't even talk about her. Why do you want to have a message? And she looked at me, and she says, I don't know. And I says, no, she's reincarnated. I'm not going to, you know, tell you anything. When you're with people like Leigh and me, use your time wisely. Use your time wisely. Ask about things that you can change. The greatest question you could ever ask us is, what do I need to know? What do I need to know? It's such a simple question. And what do you think is the most important question that somebody should ask during a session? Lee?
Let me think. What do I need to... What do I need to do? I think that's probably the most important one, because for the most part, the clients are about, what can you do for me?
Correct. And people need to sit down and take some notes and take some steps. So take a deep breath.
Hi, yes. I have Sally on the line who has a question for you too.
Great. Sally, welcome.
Well, thank you. I wouldn't be on here unless it was for my Facebook friend Cinnamon. And I want to say that thank you for both of you bringing forth what is the question to ask. So you both have stated it for me. Like, what is it that I need to do, and what is it that I need to know? I felt like I hit a wall today, and there's nothing by coincidence to be on this call tonight, to be invited on. And I do have these abilities, and I'm 57 years old, and I work in the federal government, and yet I still do a lot of, everything that you've spoken about, I've had training, I can do this, but tell me, what is it that I need to know about myself, or what is it that I need to do at this point?
Hi, Sally.
Hi.
Well, I think you need to take that brave step of stepping into your power, because you have received training, you have these abilities, but what are you doing with them?
They are foreign to, I will, not much.
Why aren't you? why don't you, instead of running away from them, why don't you move head on and embrace them and make the most of them and step into your power with them?
I think that's a very good answer. I'm going to ask you another question.
Yes.
Why is security so much more important to you than being connected to God and Source?
Well, that's an excellent question, and I believe it's the cord with my mom and or my family, what you all talked about earlier. I came in today and I realized that, once again, it's about the security. It's the financial security. And there's a pattern I keep repeating. And so with my so-called government work, it was safe for my parents to have me do this. And because I was left destitute by my first husband and the second one, I have yet to figure out what that was. But
and you know what?
If
your parents have seen your light since the day you've been born, and they had been afraid of your light since the day you've been born, own your light, because it's the greatest gift you can give them.
And I thank you for that. I have been taught a great deal about humility, so I guess I have a problem with the beginning. So I did find your website, Lee, and I'm very appreciative, again, to, as I said, Cinnamon, for, you know, sharing this call. For, I had never even heard about Schultz, but till tonight. So is there a first step that I'm to take to come into my, I know that I'm very powerful. I have demonstrated that. My former bishop had me do exorcisms, call them purifications. Don't say it out loud. You'll scare people. The other night, I actually had a dead person come through the phone call from my friend. I said, so-and-so needs to contact you and let you know what are you trying to do. And I'm trying to find her grave. I said, but she's with you now, and she's very happy. Don't worry about finding where her grave is. And he was shocked. So how do I get myself into this place? And maybe I'm asking too much on one call, and there's others that want to, you know, ask their question. Is there some way that I should take a first step?
Well, have you received any formal training?
Yes.
Okay. Have you got control of your abilities?
Yes.
Well, there's nothing stopping you, really. I would say put yourself out there to start helping people.
Mm-hmm.
Because the biggest problem everyone has when they are very intuitive or have abilities is that it's uncontrolled. But if you have full control over that, and remember, you need to have control over the spirit world. They don't control you, because you always keep a boundary around you. So if you have full control with that, then put yourself out there and just start doing it. You know, it's as simple as taking on the first client and putting yourself out as something. But you need to take ownership of what it is that you do. If you don't take ownership of it, no one else will.
Well, I find that if I don't do something soon, I really feel like it's hurting me on a very physical, very, 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 all the levels. So thank you.
All right. Well, good luck. I look forward to hearing.
Take
and
that first client.
What
Bye.
Progress you make.
Sean, is there anybody else there for us?
Yes. We have a Matthew on the line with a question.
Hi, Star. It's Matthew from New York. I love you. You know that.
Hi, Matthew. What is your question tonight?
My question tonight is about body and letting go of any need to in any way create a less than fulfilling my blueprint body that I want.
Lee?
I'm not sure what you mean by that. Hi, Matthew.
Hi, Lee.
I'm sorry, I'm not sure what you mean by that. Let me just explain. I'm not one of the New Agey people, so I'm not too familiar with all the jargon. So just explain it to me in simple terms.
Okay, well, in simple terms, I'm talking about my physical body, and honoring it. And it's I I want to go beyond. I enjoy wonderful, abundant health, and I'm very grateful for it. And I want to go beyond that and take away any blocks or entities or things that are standing in the way of my doing that and that are attached to old patterns of eating, being, thinking. Is that
all right?
Clear? Okay.
Okay. The first step I would say is to drop your life story. One needs to figure out what the life story is. If you have a problem with overeating, why do we eat? It's like any kind of an addiction. We eat because it's a distraction. So to overcome any form of addiction, we need to figure out what the distraction is. And for that, we would have to go into your life, probably down to when you were very, very young, to find out what was the initial cause of that distraction and remove that. And that kind of has a domino effect. With all forms of healing, the first rule is clearing, 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 clearing. Scanning the body first, the optimal way to heal, in my opinion, is to first clear entities, attachments. Then you clear the energy field from imprints, all that kind of stuff, bring it into balance. And then you can start the healing process to help you to move forward and step into life, creating balance in your life. When we are in balance, things go very smoothly for us. Balance, physical, emotional, spiritual, and mental balance. It's almost like when you're in balance, all your timing is right. You make the right decisions at the right time, and everything flows easily. So everything needs to start with clearing.
Yeah.
Okay, so Matthew, I just want to remind you, when you drop a negative thought or a pattern out of your body, it lands in the pile of laundry on the chair. The pile of laundry on the chair sits there for a week. The negative thought, the pattern, jumps back into you. I want to remind everybody that when you let go of something, it goes into your space. You keep your space clean, clear. You keep the energy moving in your space, or things are going to come back to you to deal with them over and over and over. If you look at the floor in your room right now, if you look at your living room, bedroom, wherever you're sitting, this is exactly the clutter in your mind. This is exactly the clutter in your heart. And when we talk about clearing, 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 you can actually see what the inside of your energetic body looks like by looking around at how you live. So does that answer that question, Matthew?
Yes, it does very well. And,
just notice how different your workspace is from your live space.
Well, I want to give you an update, if I may, which is that we are undertaking a project to reclaim the living room. We're starting there, and Steve is leading the way. Ta-da, ta-da.
Amazing. Amazing.
For those who, let me simplify. Miracles happen.
I am amazed. Thank you very much, Matthew.
You're welcome.
You know, and for me, when I look at people open up their car door and all this trash falls out of their car, and that's the way they're riding through life, and you walk into their house and they have little pathways through the clutter, it's a big sign of what is going on in their mind, their heart, and their energetic body. So, Sean, do you have someone else for us here?
I actually had a question for you, Lee, if I could. I'm very intrigued by your approach in things and going from being in law to being in this field, like Sarah mentioned. But it made me wonder, what sort of common things did you find in South Africa in comparison with the United States? What were some of the more common or you know, just common things that you found there, and how are they different from things that you commonly find when you're working with people in the States?
I don't think they really are different at all. When I first arrived in this country 14 years ago, you know, everything was still very hush-hush. I struggled. I lived in Massachusetts for 7 years and really struggled to find a spiritual circle that I could attend with some mediums, because people simply never spoke about it and you couldn't search or find them. And then lo and behold, you know, I think it was, you know, with 2012 coming up and people talking about the ascension, everyone started opening up a lot. And within 10 years, you know, you're literally stumbling over people who are teaching nowadays. There are so many centers and so many metaphysical stores all over the show. And from what I gather in South Africa, and I don't go back too often, but I get a lot of clients from South Africa who have me do remote work on them. So it does seem as if, you know, South Africa, like the rest of the world, everyone's moving forward and everyone's open to it now. People are starting to, and you know, things like the law of attraction, for example, that's not really new agey. It's a new agey term that's used nowadays, and a lot of books seem new agey. But it's really based on very, very ancient principles that were followed by the Incas and all the traditional healers in South Africa, the Native Americans, the shamans, and that is changing your feeling, changing your vibration. When we talk about the law of attraction, it's not as easy as just using positive affirmations. For example, if you're looking for love, you can write a positive affirmation or say it a million times a day, I'm happy, I'm in love. If you can't feel that, it's not going to happen. It's not going to change a thing, simply because that works at the mental level. Now, the traditional healers work at the soul level, and that's the dream state. When you dream, everything's so realistic. So the key is to get yourself into the dream state with your eyes open, to be able to dream, have courageous dreaming your life into being. If you can get into a dream state, you can feel it. And when you can feel it, when you can feel love, that's when you can create the change and start attracting things. So the books out there are also based on very ancient techniques. It just doesn't seem so, but it really is.
Oh, that's excellent.
Well, that was a great piece of information. Lee, can you remind me where to find your website and what is it?
Yes, my personal website is Lee Van Zyl Energetics. And then for the center and the school and all the stuff we do there with the public, that's montclairmetaphysical.com.
And please give Lee a call, set up an appointment with her, and get some information. Get yourself checked out, or with me. Always have more information. Always have more education. Sean, how are we doing there on phone calls?
We're great at the moment. I would like to get some more calls in. So yes, anyone who has a question, feel free to give us a call.
And the number is 646-716-9663. Give us a call, please. Wow. You know, over the years, I've dealt with many, many different, some very small and some outrageous things. Can you give us a great story, an experience from you being a medium and from you being a healer? Can you give us a story that stands out in your mind and your life?
Yes. Well, I think it was more of a horrific story that happened to me. I took a course in physical mediumship in Australia in June, and I came back. I'd worked there a little bit, and I arrived back in the country so high on the energy and eager to get started with my development in the dark. And I had a client come in for spirit rescue. And my propensity in the past has always been, you know, let them arrive. And no matter what they tell you, to first have them keep quiet about it, and I will scan and come to my own deductions. And what happened was the client came in, and I sat there, and I noticed something very, very dark around him. And I'd gotten a little bit of his history, and he was 32 years old, and he was just struggling, really struggling with everything. People seemed to steer clear of him, really struggling with everything in life. And as I was working on him, I then proceeded with some spirit release under hypnosis as well, where we worked through the higher self. And this entity made its appearance, and I realized with absolute horror that this was something so dark, probably the darkest thing I'd ever worked with. And I immediately grabbed the Roman Rite for exorcism, and while I started to read it, he was sitting there mocking me with this awful smile, and I knew I was no longer in the room with my client, but something that was actually out of my depth, I felt. And I felt the attack coming in, where my mind felt like a sieve as I felt this entity just draining my mind and reading my thoughts, and he was able to give me a few things. And while I was working on him, I thought, you know, this is an exorcism going horribly wrong right now, and I was completely horrified. And we eventually ended it, and then I'd found out that the guy had spent several years on a Ouija board speaking with a demon, and that he'd neglected to tell me. So I went in unprepared. So I've changed my tactic now in that I get a full history. I want to know exactly what people have done. And I've also realized my limitations with that, because I also got attacked by this entity in retaliation after that. And I've realized that I need to really know my limits. So, you know, sometimes my methods do not work on these darker forces. Sometimes if you have a demon who is similar to Satan, you know, sending them off into the light or negotiating with them, there's no negotiating with Satan to move into the light. It doesn't work that way. If it worked that way and it was as easy as that, we would have no problems. There would be no good or evil, because we could convince them to move into the light. But all one can really do is move them back to where they came and away from the client. So what I have done is knowing my limitations, and I think for any healers out there, my advice is to know your limitations. Because now when I do come across something like that, getting a full history, I now refer it to exorcists, priests, or people who do just exorcism, because it's such a very specialized field. And sometimes it's very difficult to tell when someone is truly possessed, because a perfect possession, you know, the people aren't really walking around twitching and acting all weird. They seem perfectly normal, and they disguise themselves. So, you know, one needs to think about these things and to also realize that true evil will lie to you. And when you're working in this field, when you come in touch with true evil, it always leaves a scratch on you. So to not take the work lightheartedly. And it gave me a good sense, being attacked myself, of what some of my clients go through, you know, with the isolation and all of that. And I think it was an awful experience for myself, but I think also a valuable learning experience as well, to actually experience the isolation that these people who are suffering go through.
It is. And you know, remember sometimes that your limits are not of your education. They're of the teacher who taught you. So if your teacher was limited in experience, you can gently and easily grow past her with your own experience or him, but to get more different views on healing. Healing is a diamond. It has many facets. Soul rescue, exorcism is a diamond. There are many, many facets. So usually what happens is that your limitations will come and smack you in your face at least once a decade. Usually once a decade for me, I get slapped in my face to remember to keep on going with my education, keep on learning, and to be much more aware and conscious than I think I have to be. How are we doing on those phone calls, Sean?
I haven't got another call in for a
question. Well, I guess they just want to hear more about it. I was working in a metaphysical store, a gem store, a gem and crystal store in Chicago, and a lady dropped by and said, "Oh, my house is haunted, my house is haunting," and I was busy, and I didn't
So, okay, you know, here's my number, call, set up appointment. She comes back a couple weeks later. My house is haunted. My house is haunted. I said, well, you know, it's the end of the store time. I'm closed. And she looked at me, and she grabbed my shoulders, and she said, my house is haunted. I says, okay, I'm coming to your house. So we got this huge high rise to this 27th floor or something way up there in Chicago. And it's a huge apartment. It's a huge apartment. I walk her to the front door, and I look into the TV, and the TV is off, and I can see spirits in the TV. So she says, do you see them? And I'm like, yeah. She says, come into the kitchen. She turned the lights off and got a flashlight, and she put the flashlight down the drain. And sure enough, I could see spirits in the drain. And then she took me to a vent, and she showed me, and she said, do you see spirits sticking their ectoplasmic body? I do, too. Okay. So anyways, I pull out what I brought with me. I kneel down in the living room, and I get to a certain point in the process, the particular process that I was hearing that, and it was every spirit that does not belong here is demanded to leave or walk into the light. And what happened was so many spirits ran out of that place that I was flung backwards from a kneeling position to where the back of my head hit the floor, and I absolutely ripped the muscles in my thighs. Later on, she told me that if two members of a rock band had lived there, and after she had bought this condo apartment, she had to take cymbals off the floor, which would have been nice advice for me to have known beforehand. So sometimes you really do need to ask the right questions. So that's my story. What other suggestions, information, data do you have for our listeners out there? What are some really important things for them to know?
Let's talk a little bit about house clearing. I've had a lot of clients who, here's the thing, you know, we sometimes have a problem as healers. People will call us for a house clearing, but people don't want to pay. And I've seen a trend nowadays with all the television shows of ghost hunters that they offer their services for free, and people are getting the ghost hunters who are coming and antagonizing the spirits, but are not linked to any mediums or any exorcists who can clear the house. So they get everything riled up, and then they leave, and the people are left with all of this going on in the house. You know, sometimes free is not always the best, and if they do get ghost hunters to come into their houses to clear, to please make sure that if they do find something, that they will be able to set them up or hook them up with someone who's going to actually help them. And
yeah,
I think
that's one
of the most disturbing things I've noticed, and I think that's good advice for people out there.
I just really talked to a bunch of ghost hunters and talked to them about how important it was not to just go in there and prove that the spirits exist, but to go in there, get their proof, and have someone come and get rid of the entities, the spirits, the vortexes. And they're like, well, but we're just trying to prove that they're there. And I'm saying, well, you're not being of comfort and help. And most of the times, and my experience is most of the ghost hunters I met are pretty spooky themselves, and they're just really coming to a great place in consciousness right now where they're realizing this fact and they're getting themselves educated and getting themselves cleared. One more time, can you give me your website, Lee?
Yes, Lee Van Zyl Energetics and MontclairMetaphysical.com.
And people, go to my website, StoreFuentes.com and MasterYourLight.com. I've got 8 or 9 books. I've got meditations. I've got puzzles, treasure maps. I have things you can do, articles. Pay attention.
On behalf of Spiritual Connections Radio, thank you for listening to Stargazing with Star Fuentes. Please join us again next week for another enlivening episode. For more information on Star's classes or services, visit her website at www.starfuentes.com.